CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. Well, there's no time like now to decide to do something fun with your life, you know? Oh, yeah, well, some people go through their lives. They do the same thing every day. They don't have any excitement. They're bored. But today might be the day that you decide to change everything. I mean, don't do anything hasty, you know?
Yeah, because I was just thinking, I'm picturing a dramatic fashion where someone storms into their boss's office and they tell them exactly what they think of them.
No, it wouldn't be a good idea. Please believe me. That never ends well, right?
I don't know, actually.
I have never... I told you my story, right? I once walked into a former boss's office. This is a long time ago. It's probably like 12 years or so ago. And I said to her, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Thank you very much. It's been fun. I wasn't horrible or anything.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you'll never work in this town again.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah, and I looked at her and I went, shit, I think I kind of believe you. But I was resolute, so I pretended it didn't upset me.
Yeah. You have to rise above things like that people say. Yes. What do they know?
Well,
you know, not unless they're the mafia, but I mean, otherwise, yeah. What do they know?
Look, I was pretty worried about her. She was a powerful woman at the time. So listen, it is Wednesday morning. We're back in full force with the exception of Michael Flax, who's off for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, today. So, aside from him, everybody else is here. All right. Ben Karpinski's here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Mubs. And good morning to Lucas, who's standing in for Flax this morning in the producer role. Lucas Matebula, how are you?
I'm good, and you got it?
Good, man. Very, very good. All right, Lucas, so you know how to take calls and things, right?
Yeah. The last time I checked, I think figured that out.
Okay, because, you know, Flax said to me that you he gave you a lesson the other day and you didn't take notes or anything. You just memorized the stuff.
So, yeah, that's how great I am.
Are you one of those people you have a super memory?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Show me, then I'll remember.
All right. I like that. I wish I had a super memory. I was thinking last night, you know, I can't even remember, for example, when we have a guest coming in and I will read something about them the day before. Unless I've got a note in front of me, I will forget. And it's also like in the nature of the show. Like, I'll sit here sometimes and there's so much going on. You've got the controls to do. You've got calls coming in. I've got the producer talking in my ears. I've got Mabali telling me a story. And then I'm thinking about what's going to happen in the next hour. And I'll forget stuff. And if you're not supremely focused, it can be a complete disaster. And some days I'm just not focused. So, you know.
Sensory overload? Is that the phrase?
I don't know if it's sensory overload, because I actually kind of like the stimulation.
Okay.
Of having all of this stuff happening at once. It keeps me happy. It makes it feel like I've got a lot going on, so I don't get bored. It sorts out the ADHD.
Ah, okay.
Constant stimulus and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I've just got to apologize up front to those people who've listened on a day where maybe I wasn't as focused.
Okay.
Because then it's a disaster.
Apology accepted.
Oh, thank you.
I've always known I have a terrible memory because there are times when my parents will tell me stories from when I was younger and I have no recollection of some of these things happening.
Oh, is it traumatic stuff?
No, it's happy memories, but I just don't remember. Terrible memory.
Someone asked me on Monday, do you think you had a happy childhood?
Yes.
I know I did. I mean, I remember, you know, laughing a lot and being a happy kid. And
yeah.
There were lots of other kids around and my parents. I was the little prince because I was the eldest grandson. So all four of my grandparents, because they were all alive when I was born, they were, I could do no wrong. I was a spoiled little prince. And then my brother arrived and he got less attention. And then my sister got even less attention.
Oh, that's...
In fact, by the time she came along, there were only... I think there were two grandparents left. No, there were three. There were three left, but they didn't last very long with her.
Oh, you're talking from the grandparents' point of view.
Yeah. Oh, no, my parents were fair and equitable I can't believe why, but I mean, to me, I always deserved the lion's share of the attention. I don't know why my brother and sister got any attention at all. And my mom sends this really cute message because we've got like, I don't know any family that doesn't at this point, but most families have like a family WhatsApp group.
Yes, we do too.
You know, you've got one as well?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Is your dad on there?
Yes.
Mr. Molloy has got the WhatsApp group on.
He's not a very active person.
Yeah. Does he like one word comments?
He sends a lot of pictures, a lot of forwarded stuff, and it's mostly political stuff.
Oh, really? Serious, huh? Yes.
That's my dad.
That's kind of my dad as well.
Yeah.
But then my mom sends this picture. She's like, "Oh, isn't that nice?"
Happiness is when you realize your children have turned out to be good people. Yeah, my mom sends that kind of stuff too.
So then look at my reply. I go, "Oh, that's nice, mom, but surely not Sandy. That's my sister." And my brother climbs in this punk. He goes, "One out of three isn't bad." And my sister-in-law is like the crying, laughing faces. And then my mother goes, "Good people, but they're full of shit." And my sister says, "I'll take being the shit person, but Gareth is a complete asshole." So this is the love I get on my family group.
Yeah, family groups are great, man. Not unless you know you come from those families that fight all the time. Then I imagine those groups are very awkward.
Just a warning up front, because Flax isn't here this morning, I don't have the password for the WeChat messaging, which is irritating, but don't let it get you down. I will try to figure it out in the meantime, but you know, if you want to talk to us, then call me. I always prefer to, I know it cuts out your phone if you're listening on your phone and you want to listen and send me a message, but it's sometimes nice to hear a voice, and everyone else can hear your voice too, and you know, they could draw a picture in their head of what kind of a person you are. Like if you call in, and you sound, if you sound like this, for example.
Oh.
Then people want to have a picture in their mind of what kind of, you know, how you look.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to come back in a moment or two, take your calls, see what's going on, get stuck into the day, and all of that exciting stuff. It's Wednesday, the 12th of October.
Where the women at?
Alrighty. Oh, there's we almost got two in a two for Wednesday.
Ooh.
A special two for Wednesday. All right, everybody, listen. There is something we've got to talk about. I don't know if we built a Cliff Central pod in the new Cliff Central studio. You know, we're broadcasting from the same studio that we've been in for 2.5 years.
Maybe you need to begin with what a pod is for some.
Okay. Yes. You've seen it, right, Mubs?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you hardly go on that side. You haven't had a chance to do any pre-records there, and you do occasional shows with Tumi, but
yes.
So the pod, let me explain. We've got a normal studio like the one that we use now, the Touch Central studio, on that side, which is, you know, Ben runs in there and switches on Cliff Central every morning for us. And then we've got a pod, which is about the size of, it's tiny. It's like a bathroom almost in terms of size. And it's got a little table with three microphones on and a computer and three really comfy chairs. And it's carpeted. It's got the soundproofing on the walls. It looks pretty funky. It's an awesome-looking little room. And that's the Cliff Central pod. And in there, it's a perfect place for you to sit down and do a recording. If you've got three people and you're having a, you know, an interview with someone or whatever, it's a very intimate, cozy little space. And it's nice for recording. But something happened over the weekend. I don't know what went on there. It was fine on Friday and people were using it, and then I went in yesterday morning, or Monday morning actually, and it smelt ungodly. It's like
someone has passed, or something has passed,
something is dead. Yeah, it's like a dead animal smell, you know, like if you've walked past trash cans that have been there for a long, long time, and you see the corpse of a rat lying next to the trash cans. And I can't help thinking, you remember you guys did that show one day when I wasn't here about the rat, the giant rat that met you on the stairs. And
it was like
the chairman of the board. It kind of just sitting there like, what are you doing in my building?
Yes.
You know, that rat?
You?
Right. I think that thing's been poisoned because we did put out some rat poison.
Oh.
And I think it's died in either the floor or the ceiling.
Oh, goodness.
And now it's busy, you know, putrefying. And I think that's the smell.
Is the smell still there?
Yeah, Lucas, you could talk to me in my ears if you want to. Lucas is figuring out the machine.
Scary thought.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, you could talk to me in my ears if you want to. Just press that button, right?
Yeah, I've pressed the button.
Okay. All right. So this rat is somewhere, and we tried to look for it yesterday. Jane was busy digging around in the floor, digging around in the ceiling, getting step ladders, all kinds of things, and trying to figure out what was happening where. No, you got to press the thing down completely. I do wish Flex had leave written instructions. The volume is very low. What, on Cliff Central? Ay vey. All right. Okay, we'll try and figure that out. I don't know how the volumes could have been changing. Let me just see if this is working. You know, the best way to do something is to do it yourself. Let me just plug this in here and let me see what the hell's going on here.
You're not
going
to check the volume through your phone?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch on the app, and at the same time I'll demonstrate for people who don't know how to use the app properly.
You know, and there are always new people who might need a refresher course or an introductory course.
This is going here. This is the Cliff Central app. I'm testing it live, and you get to be a part of this special testing process. Now, according to this, it should be on, but I'm hearing nothing. Testing, testing, 1, 2. Testing. Let me just see if this is happening. God, you know, and today is, because Flax isn't here, it shows you how much he actually does. Right?
Mm.
I don't know why this thing's not working. If you are not getting sound on the Cliff Central app at the moment, you have to listen to us on...
Touch?
No, I want it to work. I don't know why it's not working. All right, I'll try to figure that out. I think we should go to a song. Let me help Ben get to the bottom of this. All right, we'll come back and get into some of that news that I know you can't wait for, because, my God, is there stuff to talk about. Yesterday, the president, who's in Kenya, obviously acted on his final Trump card. And I hate to say Trump and the president in a sentence. It frightens the hell out of me, but that's what's happening. So we'll talk about that in a moment. All right, this is Euphonic with Sandra, and it's a fine day. And just before that, boom, crash, which sounds like it's exactly what happened on the app. Is everything working over there, Lucas? You happy now? Let me see what this is. A message from Greg. Oh, excellent. Very good. That's the password. Now we can all get to, let's just pretend. I've got an idea. Let's pretend the last 28 minutes didn't happen, okay? And we
all
can
right.
start again.
Like the Matrix, we're going to flash that red thing in your face, and it's going to wipe away the memory.
Isn't that from Men in Black?
Sorry, the Men in Black. You are right. You are absolutely right.
But aren't you proud of me for not losing my mind this morning?
Yeah, well.
I'm really trying that. By the way, I haven't been to therapy or anything, but I'm definitely getting better at not getting upset every time there's a crisis.
Mm. It's not going unnoticed, Gareth.
Thank you, Ben. Mm. Well, appreciate everybody pulling their weight this morning. Thank you, Lucas. I'll get that working in a second. All right.
Okay.
Woosa is what you say.
Yes,
all right.
Indeed.
Without messing around, I mean, I know what everyone wants to talk about this morning. I know what everybody's really worried about today, because it's what the markets are worried about. It's what every person in the ANC should be worried about. It's what everyone's talking about on social media, anyone with a brain anyway. It's the fact that Pravin Gordhan yesterday was charged to appear in court. And I'm going to let Mavs tell you the whole story, because I was following it yesterday. Like, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I actually had to rub my eyes. I just left the gym, and I saw these alerts coming through to my phone.
Yes.
From certain people I follow on Twitter, that when they post something, then it actually comes up on my screen.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of people I follow, but I could care less for, like, updates all the time. And then I saw some of these things, and I could not believe what I was reading. These guys must have – it must be a desperate last attempt. You know, it's like the president's running out of ammo, and this is his final – he rides into the town on the horse, and he's like, I'm going to shoot everybody. And he just starts unloading his weapon on, like, prostitutes and women crossing the street and children who are drinking water and –
it's always the women and children.
Yeah. He's just lost his mind, and we've got to get into this in the news. So the news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria, which is the place to go to if you want to try something with brand new, fresh ingredients every single time. They don't pre-cook their meals. You know, a lot of these pizzerias, that you go in there and they've got pizzas that have been waiting to be cooked for like 2-3 days. I don't know. I'm just guessing, because some of them taste so shitty. Not at Colcacchio. They do the whole thing properly from the beginning. And they are the perfect place to host your year-end functions. So if you're in a business and you want to do something fun with the people who work with you, go to Colcacchio Pizzeria. They'll be happy to accommodate you. To book any of the stores, contact each store directly, or to find your nearest store, go to colcacchio.co.za. And if you can't spell that, it's C-O-L-C-A-C-C-I-O. C-A-C-C-H-I-O. Kolkakhio. Got it?
Got it.
Kolkakhio.co.za. I really have to spell it out because otherwise I won't know how to spell it. So there it is. Now everybody knows. Let's get into some news. Here's Mabali Moloi with the latest.
I mean, you want to talk about, you know, training yourself to keep composed when things are not going right in your life. Can you imagine what it must be like being Minister Pravin Gordhan?
Well,
at this
he's
moment?
Had this sword of Damocles hit over his head for how long?
Yeah, exactly.
And the poor man, I mean, his wife was on TV. She was crying. I mean, this is a normal guy. He didn't ask for controversy. He's a numbers dude. He wants to make things work. You never heard from Pravin Gordhan until budget speech came and it was boring, and that's how you want the finance minister to be. And then he finds out he's in trouble over... Do you know what this is about? Has anybody figured out what this is actually about, what the charge is that's being brought against him?
Well,
it's very difficult to try and keep track because, you know, the people who are supposedly in the know are all kind of saying the same thing, which is that, oh, no... This is obviously all politically motivated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about control and it's about power and it's about this and about that. So it's very difficult for us, normal citizens, to know what the actual truth is. But let me get into some of the things that happened yesterday. So the finance ministry released a statement minutes after Pravin Gordhan's lawyers responded to the fraud charges that were brought against him. Mm-hmm. The ministry said that it is unfortunate that the Hawks have once again chosen to initiate legal proceedings at a moment that appears calculated to maximize the damage inflicted on the economic well-being of South Africans. The reaction of what happened yesterday, some of the reaction, firstly, the Chamber of Mines said that they are deeply concerned about the state of public institutions in South Africa. They were then referring to the NPA, the National Prosecuting Authority, which, are, you know, the NPA are looking very suspect at the moment. And they
that
say
big bushy eyebrows, Sean Abrams.
Interesting choice of
words.
He looks
like a raccoon.
I mean, the NPA, you know, when it comes to credibility and the NPA right now, it's just not going together.
No, it's like success in Springboks.
Okay, then. There's another analogy for you. And they say that they're going to raise the matter with the presidency. This is now the Chamber of Mines still.
Well, there's a video of the president that someone put up. I think it was Karine Duplessis, the journalist, she put up a picture of him. He's dancing up a storm in Kenya. He's having the time of his life.
Sure, you know.
He doesn't look worried.
No, not at all.
What, me? Worry?
Why?
No.
Then the CEO of debt management company Debt Rescue, they said that the decision to drag Pravin Gordhan to court will have a direct impact on the poorest of the poor who are indebted.
Well, do you want to know something really scary? Yesterday, apparently, 50 billion rand wiped off the markets. And if we break that down per person in the population, it's about $900 of your money that the president just decided to throw away by going at someone who he believes is an enemy. And by trying to hold desperately onto power and not go to jail. The president just cost you, he made a withdrawal from your account of $900.
I mean, there are people today who don't even have $900 in their account. And this is exactly what Debt Rescue are referring to. Oh, this is who Debt Rescue are referring to.
If you had zero in your account yesterday, like a lot of us have, you're now at minus 900. Thank you, Mr. President. And for anybody who doesn't believe that this affects them, I'm afraid this is exactly how it affects you. And this guy is just, he's poisonous. Something serious has to happen here. I mean, I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know who. But I think it's time people think very seriously about withholding tax money. I think it's time people start very seriously thinking about going on boycotts of every kind. I think we've got to take this into our hands now. Civil society's got to stand up and be uncivil. Maybe the students have set the right example for us. We should all take to the streets and start throwing rocks.
And then the former Gauteng Education MEC, Mary Metcalf, she described the charges against Gordhan as a national suicide. So big words being used here, national suicide. You know, it's the picture that is being painted is that it's dire. circumstances at the moment.
Yeah, I don't want to be too dramatic here because I don't think that when Praveen pitches up in court, there's going to be any case at all. I think it's going to be another embarrassing scenario where the NPA is brought out and they trundle out the worst evidence they could possibly muster. And Praveen says, well, here's why it's bullshit, and his lawyers just take them to the cleaners. But in the meantime, your finance minister is being threatened with arrest. That you can't run a country on that basis. This shows you how little the president cares about ordinary people or about the country as a whole, and he's more interested in doing whatever he has to remove obstacles to absolute supremacy, because the only way he can guarantee his freedom is to have complete control. And at the moment, Praveen is an obstacle to that in his mind.
And then a puppet like this, Sean Abrams, right? He makes this big stand like, no government minister is above the law. So he chooses the most trivial of case to be all hard ass about.
Do you know
what about Prasa? What about all these other things? You know, if this guy's going to be a badass, then why not badass some actual bad people?
Well, this is the ironic thing here. And I think a lot of people are very confused about what Praveen is supposed to have done. Well, he gave Ivan Pillay a retirement package upon leaving SARS of 1.1 million rand, which, considering what Ivan Pillay brought in while he was at SARS as the commissioner, is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean, and it's probably a very fair pension. This is the one thing. You know how deep they had to dig to find something?
A year of digging, and this is what they found. Wow.
These guys are just amateurs. Amateurs. These people should all be sent to jail after this thing's concluded, because it's going to be. The truth's going to come out. Praveen's going to go to court. And trust me, when that happens, we're going to find out exactly how stupid the NPA, Burning and Klemeza, all of these people who are supposedly the best investigators in the country but are actually just apparatchiks for the president, they're all going to end up looking like morons. But it's not enough. We've got to send them to jail too.
But the real question here is, how is it that our president has managed to amass this amount of power?
Because
he has everyone basically dancing to his tune.
Why? Because he's got...
How did he manage to do that?
He's put people in positions where they're accountable only to him. Look at Faith Mutambi.
That's a lot of people, though, to have them bending over backwards to accommodate you.
It's not difficult. You find very low-functioning, basic, and not particularly credible people who don't have a brand of their own, who don't have anything to stand for, and you make them your servant. You get people with a slave mentality, and you make them your slaves. So we got a bunch of slaves.
So after all that has been said and done, do not fear, though, Gareth, because the presidency released their own statement by the end of the day yesterday.
What did they say?
Well, they say that President Jacob Zuma has reaffirmed his support for Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan.
Who even believes that? That's like your rapist saying to you, and I hate to use this as a metaphor, but it's really that strong at this point. That's like your rapist saying to you, don't worry, I love you, and whispering that in your ear before he does what he does. Come on. Who believes this guy? Right?
Yeah.
Look, you might have also been interested in watching how the Rand was reacting to all of that yesterday, but I'm sure Anthea will break all of that down for us. In other news, Gareth, the public protector, Thuli Madonsela, is just 2 days away from vacating her office, and she has described the past 7 years of her tenure as epic. Yes, she used the word. But she says that she is leaving with a touch of cynicism, Gareth. She gave an interview yesterday on Frontline, and she says, I leave a little cynical about human beings. She says she now listens to everyone with a pinch of salt because she has learned that humans will lie to you with a straight face.
Well, she had a meeting with the president this week.
Yeah. When she was asked about some of her funnier moments in office, she referred to those allegations that she was apparently a spy for the CIA, that she had three handlers.
By the way, that's why Ben loves her, because she was in the CIA.
Oh, yeah, no. Ben loves her.
She doesn't trust humans, and she says it. Ben, then maybe publicly.
The public protector might be on your level of cynicism. This is quite a new thing.
Then there was also the allegations that she had three handlers, that she was being bankrolled by a professor.
No.
Yes.
Another way, Guede was one of the people who accused her of that, and then he was at this banquet the other night saying what a wonderful human being she is.
Yeah, you see, that's when people lie straight to your face. And then there was also the time when it was alleged that she has a secret account in the Cayman Islands, Gareth. So those are some of the more memorable moments. She said that there was also a fake Gmail account that had been created in her name in an attempt to prove that she was the spy. Madonsela plans to take a sabbatical next year. And she says that she'll go back to practicing in 2018 and then also possibly teach.
Well, her usefulness is not at an end. But, you know, there's a lot that's going on in politics in this country that is just unbelievable. But I don't want us to suddenly think, oh, my God, it's all over. On Monday, I met three really brilliant people who are all making plans to get out of the country. They're making plans for their kids to study overseas, and they just want out. And I feel sad about that because I do think that the whole world is in a huge state of trouble at the moment. It's not just South Africa.
It's not just us. It's just that, you know, we feel it more here because it's right in our backyard.
Well, also, this president of ours is just, he's like thumbing his nose at us. He's giving us all the brown eye, and there's nothing we can do. We're sitting there. Or is there? What do you say? What do you suppose we could do? I'd love to hear your suggestions. We've got a lot of smart people who listen to us. Hey, if you're up this Wednesday morning and you've got an idea of what kind of legal activities we could take part in, and I don't believe in destruction of property or making the country worse or taking us backwards. So it's got to be something that we can all act on in a positive manner. But there's got to be some way we can remove this guy from causing more damage. He's doing such harm to every single one of us.
How much longer do we still have him again? No, 2019 or is it 2017?
It's 2017. It's too long.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get rid of this guy. It's so bad. I think it could be 2019, actually.
Well, that's the next national elections on 2019.
Yeah, we can't wait for the ANC to act. The ANC has no balls. So now we've just got to take it up a level. There's got to be a weapon in the arsenal that we can use. Somebody, please, suggest something.
That's the thing about democracy. Like, surely there has to be something that democracy gives us that we can act with. I'm not talking about rebellions and coups and all that other kind of stuff, but something within democracy.
Yeah, there's got to be a legal...
If it's the fairest system.
Right. I mean, the courts have done the best job so far of being a bulwark to this kind of craziness, but the courts just seem to be incapable of effective action in this respect. Everything they say, he just ignores. And it keeps being appealed and appealed and sent to a higher court. And now we can't even get the charges reinstated. You know, he's got these 780-something charges that are hanging over his head. Those should be brought. Let's not worry so much about Pravin, shall we?
Okay.
I mean, it's insane. Anyway, all right, we'll get started with some sport with Ben. And let's see what's going on over there, Ben. You got some things for us?
Yeah, Gareth, history beckons for the Proteas. Okay, so you know they've been absolutely wiping the floor with the Aussies. So it's 4-0 so far in the ODI series, the 5 ODI series. And today, in Cape Town is the final one, okay? So they win this. It'll be the first time in history that SA or any other team in the entire world has whitewashed the Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
That is an incredible feat. And in the aftermath of SA rugby being at its absolute lowest, you've got to be able to cheer on 50% of the boys here. In Cape Town, 1:30, the game starts today.
Thank goodness the Proteas are doing okay. Because we go up and down with the Springboks. We go up and down with the Proteas. We're mostly down with Bafana.
Yeah.
But here's possibly something to be proud of.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And obviously the first thing people say is, oh, but Australia's bowlers aren't that great. But their batting lineup has fired once out of four so far.
Yeah.
Which means a hell of a lot for our bowlers. One out of four with guys like Warner and Steve Smith. That's pretty good. So let's not take too much away from this. This is an amazing feat, and it could become even better today. First time in history this could happen. India are back as the number one test team in the world of cricket. They basically, I've used the analogy of a Venus flytrap before. Basically, they lure people to their country. They put them onto horrible dog shit, dusty pitches, and ultimately they thrash them in test matches. They don't do this away from home, obviously, because guys like Ashwin and Jadeja don't really bowl too well when the pitch doesn't completely suit them. But, you know, call a spade, they are the ICC number one test team in the world again. So they have that big mace, which basically looks like something out of Masters of the Universe. And they get to hold that and go, we are great.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
That's the weapon we're waiting for.
Yeah.
That's the thing we need to
fix things. That's the thing. We had so long. The Proteas had the mace for so long, back when we were magical in so many different ways. Bangladesh versus England, that's another big game on today. So this deciding ODI. First match was lost by Bangladesh. They lost 7 wickets for about 12 runs. Second ODI, Bangladesh won it by 34 runs. And there's quite a lot of heat around this. There was like, you know, a little bit of argy-bargy after the match, and there was dissent, and players were fined and reprimanded. So that's all to play for today. That'll start at 2:30. It's a very exciting day of cricket all around, actually. In golf news, Dustin Johnson has been named the greatest player of the year, the PGA Tour Player of the Year, with an average of 69 shots every single round. Damn right as well. Current world number 2. Total eagles. He had 16 eagles. That was the most in the entire year. 8th most birdies and 41 rounds in the 60s. 3 wins, 15 top 10s, 19 top 25s, and he's probably got the hottest wife on circuit. So when you look at a winner, Dustin Johnson is a winner. Speaking of doing good things, the Italian Serie B, which is obviously the one below the Serie A, they are going to start issuing green cards for fair play. No, this doesn't mean you can now work in America. It literally is just a green card. So if you do things that, say, are nice and honorable, you'll be given a green card. Play with the most green cards, get some sort of reward. Sounds a bit lame, but, you know, I'll back anything that sounds honorable in football, especially with the amount of diving and, you know, manipulation of the rules that these footballers get away with day in, day out. So, green cards. I should go straight into school, actually. Also a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
FIFA are really just not doing well as a criminal organization anymore.
They've really become so soft.
They've become so soft. So much so, they now have a women's division, Gareth. Can you believe it? There is a chief women's football officer now in charge. Her name is Sarai Barman. She's a Kiwi. And she'll have been charged with women's football through FIFA. It's a happy day all around, actually.
All right. Wow.
Can you believe it? 2016, up until this moment, there hasn't been a women's division or anyone running it.
Who cares about the women?
But, I mean, it's disgraceful,
it's only half
right?
the world's population or more.
How disgraceful. There's been a women's World Cup for ages now. FIFA have been making money out of women's football, but only now is there actually someone who reports to work saying, hi, there's me, women's football, that's me. 2016. These guys... in other sports, well, we'll get into them in the second hour, basically. A little touch on rugby. Big Curry Cup semi-finals happening this weekend. The coaching at Darbo headed up by Brendan Fenter, and, well, Bafana played last night. They drew 1-1 with Ghana, but the Ghanaians were probably way too tired after having way too much sex. You know, that's the big problem with them.
It's all about the sex.
Yeah, that's all your sport for this hour.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. In a moment, we'll check in with Anthea and find out what's going on in the markets, which are... seemingly in the toilet after the announcement yesterday that Pravin Gordhan is going to court and that the NPA have decided that they're going to put some charges into the mix. Beautiful. All right, let's do this. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's Jeremiah with Stefflon and London. Very, very nice way to start your Wednesday. If you've just woken up and you're with us this morning and you've never done this before, isn't it exciting to try something new? Isn't it great to be doing stuff on a free platform where you're on the internet and the whole world can join in the conversation? And isn't it great that we get to tell the stories of South Africa and we get to share our studio with really amazing guests every morning? If you haven't heard any of this, you should go and check out cliffcentral.com for the podcasts and listen every day live on touchcentral.fm for some of the best in music and everything else. All right. It's time for us to check in on the money, and this is a particularly important day to check in on the money because we're all, if you break it down, we're all about 900 Rand poorer today, even though you did nothing wrong yesterday, by the way. It's not your fault. It's the fault of Sean Abrahams. So, Anthea, yesterday I retweeted you. You said, oh, wow, we've just lost a whole lot of money off the stock market, particularly the banks, in the light of that decision against, you know, well, by Sean Abrahams to charge Pravin Gordhan. How much money did we lose off the market yesterday?
So, Gareth, this is really difficult to say, but actually the irony of it is that because of the weaker rand, the stock market was up. So across the board, we didn't. The banks index, however, and this is the big one, just off the banks index, we lost 50 billion rand. So the banks index was, I mean, the banks were down about 4% yesterday.
Well, the reason I say that we've lost money is because most people aren't on the stock market investing in shares that are rand hedged. Most ordinary people aren't going to benefit from that.
Okay. So this is where I'm going with this, because actually the stock market overall was good. The bank's index, 50 billion rand wiped off, but the rand lost about 4% yesterday. And the implications of all of this, of course, because we're net importers of oil, the petrol price is going to go up, your food prices are going to go up, your clothing's going to cost more. And then bond yields blew out about 25 basis points, and so the cost of borrowing money is going to be more expensive. So actually, it's going to cost you a lot of money, I'm afraid. In fact, so now a dollar costs, what, 14.31 at the moment, a euro 15.83, and to buy a pound, it's going to cost you 17.62.
Sure.
And these are, you know, we joke about how this is bad for people who go on holiday, but it's not just this. We import a lot of things. We import huge amounts of goods.
Mm.
And so having to pay more for it hits us in the bottom line. It really does.
You know, I don't want to be dramatic about this, but the economy is not growing, and we need to stimulate it in some way, shape, or form, and this is certainly not helping. Pravin Gordhan was in New York last week trying to get people to lend us money because we're in deficit, and we're going to need to borrow in order to cover all the costs of the budget this year. There's no one to do the medium-term budget if Pravin does have to go to court, or worse, end up in jail. So it seems like we're in a rudderless ship at the moment. In fact, if it is rudderless, that would be better, because it almost seems like it's being maliciously steered into an iceberg.
I'm afraid so. A lot of people are speculating about the timing of the summons. You know, it's 2 weeks before the medium-term budget speech. But actually, in a statement yesterday, Standard & Poor's said that the summons of Gordhan was not, in inverted commas, a huge surprise. So as if they were expecting it. So they're not immediately changing our BBB- rating. Although, I mean, that doesn't mean they're not going to do it in December. So the medium-term budget policy statement is very much more of a taking of the temperature of how we're doing fiscally and whether we've stuck to February's budget. You know, nothing's normally, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time, but normally nothing would really change. They don't use this one to up tax rates or to reallocate money. If they need to, they'll reallocate money within sectors. So, so education, for example, if they think that the university fees do need to fall and that they can afford to take money from, say, schooling, for example, to put it into tertiary, they potentially could do that. They don't normally take it from social welfare or any other spend to give it to education. You know, it's not like a huge shift of the budget. But I do feel like, even though Standard & Poor's said that yesterday, this is the nail in the coffin. We were doing so well with a slightly stronger rand. But as the rand falls, inflation rises. The SARB has a mandate to target inflation. If they dare increase interest rates, I mean, that will have a huge negative impact on the economy. And already they're predicting we're only growing at, what, 0.2 or 0.4% for this year. Mm. So, yesterday was a mess. It was shocking.
Let's say you're lucky enough to have been invested in a bunch of rand-hedged stocks. Which ones did well?
So Astoria was up
8%. For those of us who bet against our government being smart, how did we do?
You know that my portfolio is tilted towards rand hedges, but mm-hmm. I must admit this is not how I want it to happen. So Astoria was up 8%. Richemont was up 7%. Although Richemont also had an added tailwind yesterday. LVMH put out their sales update, which was really good. So that was quite positive. And then, unfortunately, Gareth, I would have thought that the rand hedge stocks would have rallied a little bit more, because the rand falling 4% should push these stocks higher. But actually, I think there's so much reticence from investors just to be invested in such a fractional environment. They just don't want to touch us. So we're not even seeing that much of the benefit from the weaker rand, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to warn us about today? Is there anything we can be careful of? What do you do in times like these with this kind of volatility?
So yesterday I tilted my portfolio a little bit, but I didn't make any huge changes. Like, I still believe in the fundamentals of the companies that I'm invested in. And I have to wait and see almost. I mean, as I say, yesterday surely was good for my portfolio. Not the way I want it. But anyway, there were a couple of companies a bit in the news yesterday. Famous Brands was one of them. They got a bit lucky on the back of this week around. They put out a trading statement yesterday saying headline earnings per share would increase between 67 and 74%. I mean, that is a crazy number.
But
if you strip out the exceptional items, then actually that HEPS increase is only between 10 and 14%. I think we just expect more from Famous Brands. So if it wasn't for the weaker rand, I think the share would have been under pressure yesterday. And these exceptional items I'm talking about, so first of all, they made 141 million rand derivative gain on a call option when they hedged out their risk, their rand risk, when they bought GBK, the Gourmet Burger Kitchen, you know, the UK burger company, which was very... I want to say clever, but it could have gone the other way for them. And then, unfortunately, they did impair 20 million rand investment in a Nigerian restaurant business. So thank goodness that's out the way. To get rid of that.
You wouldn't have wanted them to do that, right?
Yeah, no. Happy that that's gone and off the books now.
Okay.
And then also Lewis, remember the furniture company? We spoke a while ago about David Woolham bringing a case against them, against Lewis, because of them charging their clients too much in insurance and exorbitant delivery fees. And in fact, Dave Woolham called their directors delinquent. and so yesterday, the Western Cape High Court ruled in favor of Lewis, and they said that the claims Woolham had made against the directors were vexatious. This case, like, I'm following it just for the language, actually. I would have thought that Lewis would increase yesterday, but actually on the back of the Gordon news, the share was actually lower.
All righty. Cool.
And then earnings season kicked off yesterday in the U.S. Really not great. The market was negative. Asian negative this morning. Lower oil prices, lower commodities. So we'll see what happens today. I mean, if this rand continues to weaken, maybe we'll see another kicker in our rand hedge stocks. But that's the kind of best case scenario I think I'm hoping for.
You know, I sort of feel like I'm in the opposition parties where, you know, for example, when I asked Julius, don't you think that the president is your best secret weapon because the longer he's in office, the more votes you'll win and the ANC will lose? And he said, yeah, but for the good of the country, that's a very bad thing. And I kind of feel like when we talk about the stock market in the morning and we're betting against our own country, in effect, that while you may gain materially from it, in the end, we all lose.
That is exactly how I felt yesterday.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Anthea.
Didn't love my job yesterday.
No, I don't think anyone loved anything yesterday. But thank you.
All right, then. Have a good day.
There we go. Sean Abrams affecting everybody today. Who knew that guy with the bushy eyebrows would be the most influential person on this day in 2016? But not for long, I would surmise. Let's see what happens, all right? Keep our eyes on this one. When we come back in a moment or two, we'll get in some news. We'll find out what's happening. And then I want to speak to a couple of interesting people that we've lined up for today. The big interview after 8 o'clock is going to be K2. You remember Katlego Mabuseela, who was on the show. He was on Big Brother. He was in love with Blue. There was that whole story. We had the two of them in telling the story of their love affair.
Yes, they have a very big following.
Huge.
And some people were very affected when it was announced that the two of them have broken up.
Mm. And he's just released an album called What a Relief. Don't know if that's linked.
It's
pretty hardcore.
Okay.
We'll have to find out in a short while. Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's really a nice thing to do. You break up with someone and you release an album called What a Relief. Sure. All right. We'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Good morning, everybody. I got a comment from Rory just now. Said, that song we played just now was terrible.
Oh.
He actually said, what a shit song. CliffCentral.com.